This week on The Raw Edit, we're sitting down with Northeast Ohio senior photographer, educator, and queen of confidence building, Liz. From capturing genuine laughter to helping photographers grow profitable businesses, Liz brings an energy like none other. She has a bright, over-the-top personality and vibrant presence that you are sure to love. During this episode, we dive into everything from creating confidence on camera for your clients and yourself, to the chaos and beauty of mom life, storytelling with intention, and why you don't have to change a single thing about yourself to be worthy of stunning photos or success. Whether you're in your creative groove or feeling stuck in comparison land, Liz's take on business, motherhood, and finding your voice will hit you right in the feels. So let's get into it.
Welcome to The Raw Edit, where we keep it real, raw, and ridiculously fun.
We're two photographers who've seen it all. Blurry shots, perfect poses, epic travels, and those WTF is this lighting moments.
Whether you're behind the lens, in front of it, or just trying to figure out what the heck raw files even are, this is the podcast for you.
We're talking about the good, the bad, and the unfiltered truths of building a photography business that doesn't just survive, it thrives.
Think travel adventures, tips that actually work, behind the scenes chaos, and maybe a little tea about what really goes down on shoots.
We're dishing out all the secrets from nailing your dream shots to running a business that doesn't make you want to cry into your SD cards.
No fluff, no filters, just real talk, a few laughs, and maybe a little chaos.
So grab your camera, your Diet Coke, and join us for The Raw Edit.
Hey, so Liz is here today, which we're super excited about. And we're going to start off by having her introduce herself to everybody.
Hi, guys. First off, thank you guys for having me on the podcast. I'm super excited. I love these queens. They are just gorgeous, stunning human beings. So thank you for having me on the podcast. Hi, howdy, hey. My name's Liz. I am a photographer in Northeast Ohio and an educator, and I specialize in photographing high school seniors. I started off in the wedding industry and worked my way into the senior industry. I've been doing this for 15 years. And then when I'm not doing that, I am running, chasing around my three kids. I got a 9-year-old and 2 6-year-olds, and I get to hang out with a wonderful husband that is the best cook in the world. So, you know, I have a pretty good life.
I love that, Liz. Let's talk about your seniors. So you say you've been doing that, you said 14 years, did you?
So I've been doing this for 15 years. I've been photographing seniors for 7 years. Mm. Don't quote me, 7 or 8, somewhere around there. Losing track. But yeah, so I started in the wedding industry. I photographed, my senior photographer reached out to me and was like, hey, I know you like to take photos for fun. Do you want to come and work for me? And I'm like, cool. Yeah, why not? I had nothing background wise when it came to senior photography in general. I was just like, this would be a fun job. This will be great. And then I figured out, oh wait, I actually really like this. So I slowly started, I learned Lightroom. I started working as an assistant. Then I second shot, then I first shot, exclusively doing weddings, and I just found I fell in love with it. So that led me into running my own business, and I've done everything under the sun besides newborns. That's just never been in my... I will hand those off gladly. I love babies. I just don't want to photograph them. So, and now I'm photographing seniors, and I photograph obviously my two teams each year, which is my queen team and my dream team, and then I photograph obviously a decent amount of regular seniors every day. So yeah,
I love that. I love how you help your seniors, and I feel like your seniors are awesome because they're showing up confident. Like, how are you helping them show up as their confidence? Like, how do you bring that out in them?
So confidence is like my number one thing with my clients. Like, I would rather you show up, have a blast, feel good about yourself, and feel more confident walking out of a session than you did walking in. Like, that's my overall goal. Even if you don't remember my photos, if no one remembers my photos, if you remember how you felt and you feel good and better about yourself, like, that's my goal. So I personally do a lot of different things to try to instill confidence in my clients because, long story short, we all get nervous about things. We all have those days where we're not confident. So I have kind of developed a handful of tools specifically, like, I like to ask questions on the questionnaire to get to know a little more about them. I get to find out what their insecurities are. I figure out what type of clothes they like to wear. Oh my gosh, fashion is such a big part of this, guys. So if you can help people feel confident in multiple different ways, whether that is preparation, whether that is outfits, you know, and giving them, making them feel good in what they're wearing. And then the actual session process itself comes to hyping them and loving on them and just like praising them like they are the best person they've seen and they're the best creation since sliced bread. Like, that's the vibes I want to deliver during the session so that they walk away and they're like, I do feel pretty good about myself. I am pretty amazing. Hair flip, you know?
Yeah, I love that, Liz. Okay, so let's say you've did all this stuff beforehand to try to build their confidence, but if they still walk into the session and they feel really shy and awkward, do you have like a go-to trick to get them laughing or just kind of relax a little bit, Liz?
So I have a process of if I have my hard nuts to crack, what I typically do is I try to get a feeler before the session to know what on the scale of how shy they are, because that will give me an idea and understanding of walking into the session if I need to do more prep work. Because when we come into the session, if I know, okay, they're more shy, I want to park somewhere where I can walk to the location and talk with them to kind of talk them off the ledge, get them a little more comfortable with me. So this is if you have not met with them in person beforehand. Everybody has a different model. I completely understand that. If you can meet with these clients beforehand, that is going to be a big indicator to help you get them more comfortable going into the session. But if you can't, my rule of thumb is start simple. Start with poses that are very, very go-to. Everyone does them, and let them know, like prep them saying, hey, okay, so we're going to start with some basics, okay? And then we're going to work our way into some more fun stuff later on into the session. I have to warm up. You have to warm up. It's all good. The one thing I always do that seems to like cause a sigh of relief. Yes, sigh of relief. Is when you can tell they're nervous and I'm like, trust me, I'm the weirdest person here. And then I just do a little side kick and I just kick my leg up in the air and I'm like, everybody will be looking at this crazy lady over here pointing to myself, not to you. So don't worry about it. You can't outmatch my crazy. It's all good. And they'll kind of giggle to themselves and they'll like calm down a bit to go into the session. The more you can make fun of yourself, and obviously not in a crappy way, but just like, yeah, I am a dork. Yes, I am just a little weird. I will sing my opera heart out sometimes. I'm just over here, you know, and just getting them to go and laugh so that they can loosen up and be like, okay, it's all good. It's all good. Because we all have that silly gene inside us. If you have kids, you've been silly to them before, right? It's the same scenario. Yeah, I'm not treating them like a five-year-old, but I'm going to prove to them that I'm comfortable. You can be comfortable around me. I'm weird. I'm quirky, and it's all good. That means that you can be comfortable. You cannot embarrass yourself in front of me. So I think giving them that vulnerability helps them bring themselves out of their own shell.
So do you do a Zoom beforehand, Liz? Because you said, you kind of alluded to that. Or do you meet them in person or something?
I have switched it over the years. This year, what I'm doing is I'm doing shopping consults. So we are meeting at the mall beforehand and we are prepping their outfits together. I have had them come in for like client style consults that I've done previously. And this year I'm transitioning to that, which so far has had a lot of success. But either way, I'm making sure that I'm meeting them somehow. Some people want to do a meeting right after they book and just to plan everything in person. I'm okay with that. If you want to rather do it at a style consult, I'm okay with that. But I do try to do something one way or another to meet, unless you're doing one of my like mini packages, like a half hour session type of dealio. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a client closet? I thought you did for some reason, Liz. Am I making that up?
I do. So I have a client closet. I have transitioned from my studio space and we want to build a space in the back of my yard. So that's it. Right now, my client closet is in storage, y'all. So if someone wants something, I'm like, I will grab it for you. But I have noticed like a half and half. People tend to use half my client closet and then half they bring. So because style changes so frequently, I am transitioning my client closet to be luxury items only. So big, floofy dresses, like the va-va-voom items for special occasions and for my queen team, which is a senior team for anyone that doesn't know. And then I want to transition to just shopping with them and helping them pull stuff from their own closet, because if you know how to style someone, you can pull stuff from your closet and still make it look fantastic.
Yeah, I love that piece. Did you just start offering that shopping this year, Liz? Because I know.
Yes.
How is that going? You said it was going good.
It is going good. I think I need to work out some kinks, because I'm a person, for anyone that doesn't know, I have ADHD. I like changing things up a lot. That is like in my soul. I'm always adding something, switching something in my business. And so this year was the big thing of like, I wanted to change this up. I wanted to try something else. And so far it's been fantastic. I feel like we do a really good job with the questionnaire beforehand, finding out what stores they like to shop at, what is their silhouette type, giving me a Pinterest board of pictures that they like. I also look at their Instagram and see what they typically wear, so I know what are they most comfortable with. Like for example, in the questionnaire, I'm going to ask like, do you like sleeves or spaghetti strap? Some girls are really self-conscious about their arms, stuff like that. And then also looking at their Instagram, I promise guys, I'm not a creep. It just helps me understand better. I'm a visual person. And I go through their pictures and say, okay, well, they really like this type of silhouette. So then I make a game plan in my head of what I'm going to shop for and what places we're going to go. I go a little early. I pick out some stuff, so I have like a prep plan. And then, and then I think it goes pretty well. I do need to cut down the time a little. So I think I need to add in a couple more prep steps, but so far so good. I'm really happy with it. And the girls seem to be really happy with the results.
That's awesome. Because I know outfits they're huge. That is probably one of the biggest challenges. I think my senior girls fret about that the most versus the guys. Guys just show up. Mom's already got the outfits picked, but the senior girls are the ones who I think are looking for those epic outfits. Right. And sometimes I tell my girls, you overthink your outfits. Like, you're overthinking it. Like, keep it simple. I can guarantee you I could go to your closet and find 5 outfits right now that would be perfect for your session. But I love that you're offering that and doing all that legwork kind of for them before they even get there.
You know, I had a client, I think it was the second year that I was photographing seniors. And we had her session. The photos turned out great. She didn't like the session. And I found out, I'm like, well, you know, I had to pull it out of her. And she's like, I didn't like what I was wearing. And I took that opportunity in that moment to say, I can either be mad at her for the fact that she didn't say anything beforehand, or I can take the blame and understand that she doesn't know that because she's never done this before. So I need to put steps in place to make sure this doesn't happen again. So that's when I started doing style consults so that I wouldn't have that issue. And I from there built on that. So I have a confidence guide that goes through prep tools if they want to shop for themselves, because this is an optional appointment. I give them this year. Another thing I added was a style, like a clickable style guide where I have outfits pre-made that I created from multiple different stores that are the most popular stores people buy from. And I made outfits for them so they could literally go on, click on each piece and buy each item and have it shipped to them if they want to. So like finding whatever works best for your business and your time, because we all have other things in life that happens, but if you can be creative like that and have a clickable style guide or just what I call my confidence guide, which is just prepping them, do what you need to do. But there's a lot of ways that we can prep these girls beforehand so that they feel confident walking in.
Yeah, I love that.
That was genius also, Liz. Genius.
Yeah.
With the outfits.
Yeah. As I was sitting here, I was thinking, man, we need to, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking I need to do that for my clients. And maybe it's starting to walk through the stores. I mean, you're going to have to look like an idiot walking through the stores with your phone and looking at outfits and educating your clients on these are the outfits I see at TJ Maxx. You know, here they are on the rack. This is why I love them. This is why this would look good for senior sessions. Maybe it's more stuff like that that I need to, it just was going through my brain as you were talking about that, that you're going into the stores and doing that.
I have done past reels where I'm like, I go thrifting and I'm like, this is how I would pick an outfit under $15. And my girls loved it. They just loved watching it for fun. So I'm like, I think stuff like that is good, especially it positions you in the market as someone that knows what they're doing. So when they look at that stuff, I'm like, oh, wait, she knows how to do that. I don't know how to do that. I get so nervous about that. It's just another piece under the belt to say, she's qualified. I want to work with her. So, yeah, I'm excited for it. The clickable style guide, I will say, I'm changing it seasonally. So I'm doing a spring, summer, fall. So that is a lot. I will say that. I might slightly adjust it of like an everyday section that is pieces that people will always buy that I've seen as favorites year over year. So that is also brand new, and I'm tweaking and tweaking because y'all, like, we don't have to build something from the ground up. You just got to tweak it and tweak it every year so you perfect it and you add it to your business.
Hey, photographers, let's talk about the secret sauce for unforgettable travel sessions. It's location and light. You can have the most stunning clients, but if the spot is off or the light is harsh, it's game over. That's where my travel scouting guide comes in. In this freebie, I break down exactly how I find the best locations and plan for perfect lighting every time. From apps like Sun Surveyor to help you track down the sun, to All Trails for uncovering hidden gems, I've done the trial and error so you don't have to. This guide will save you time, energy, and let's face it, stress. Ready to scout like a pro? Grab the freebie using the link in the show notes and let me make your next session your best one yet.
Let's talk about, you've got three kids and an amazing business, and you also kind of dive into education too. How are you keeping all of that going? Because I know sometimes it can be chaotic. Like we talked a little bit before we started this podcast. How are you doing it, Liz? How do you do it?
I do it imperfectly. I think that's the key point. I think everyone is like, oh, you can do all these things. I used to look at other photographers. I'm like, I don't understand it. How are you doing all these things? You just don't do it perfectly. You do what you can. You do the best that you can. And you learn to figure out what your priorities are and figure out a schedule that works for you. And you stick to it. And the reason I say it this way, because you're like, duh, Liz. There is a difference, okay? So if you read a bunch of books about productivity, those books a lot of the times do not resonate with me. Why? Because I have ADHD. A lot of creative people's brain works differently. And I learned early on that I need to stop listening to everybody else and I have to figure out a schedule that works with my brain and no one else's. And it's okay if it looks different than everybody else's life. I also have help. Oh my gosh, guys. You do not have to do everything yourself, okay? My husband is a major supporter, a major help, and I will not say no when someone asks me for help. Well, I'm getting better at it, at least. But I have learned that when I do accept help, I grow as a person, I grow as a business, I grow in my personal life. So, for example, this past week, I needed someone to clean my freaking yard. I love my husband. He's working 60-hour weeks right now. He does not have time for that. Your girl also is working crazy because I got a lot of stuff I do in my house. I do a lot of stuff in my business and I have the education side of things. Plus I'm doing stuff for my son's school. I also am a part of autism advocacy groups. Your girl runs 100 miles an hour, but I have learned ADHD. I'm about to go on a tangent. I had someone come up and clean my yard. There was a kid that came by. He's like, hey, you need stuff done? I'm like, yes. Yes, I sure do. Paid a kid to clean up my yard and mow my yard, okay? Little things like that. Ordering my groceries so I save time. I look at things on how can I eliminate things in my life that I don't need? How can I automate things in my life that I need? You know, eliminate, automate, and delegate. Those are the three things that you have to focus on in life. You just need to come back to this every couple months. What can I eliminate? What can I delegate? You know, what can I automate in my life, in my business? This is a big side tangent, y'all. But like, there's so many ways you can do this. You can use CRM softwares to automate a good portion of your business. Like a lot of my stuff in my business is automated. I would not be able to survive otherwise. Oh my gosh. I have an office manager that helps me with a lot of different odds and ends, random things in my business that I am not good at. I know that I'm not good at it. I tried it. That did not end well for me. So I have an assistant that helps me so I don't make those mistakes again. So yeah, automate, delegate. What's the other one? And eliminate. Those are my three main core principles that I recommend if you want to try to juggle it all. And don't forget to rest in between because you don't have to be productive to be a good person in life, okay? It's okay to rest. That's my rant.
I love that. I love it. That was amazing. I feel
that could be a whole episode. We'll have to have you back on, and we'll have.
I was thinking that too.
Delegate. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I have stories for days, y'all. I got stories for days.
You need a sticker, Liz, that says that, like, eliminate, yes. Delegate. What was the last one?
Automate.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I've said it a billion times, but sometimes I always miss one when I'm like, what is it? Oh my gosh, I only do this every couple months. And I think people also need to realize that, like, motherhood, for example, people always say, like, oh, how do you balance motherhood? I'm like, it's like a scale, and you learn to balance it, and then something else gets put on the other side, and then you have to learn to rebalance. You're constantly rebalancing the scale. So don't, instead of looking at it and say, like, I'm not perfect. Yeah, of course you are. No one is. You're going to learn new things every single time you have to rebalance that scale. Give yourself grace. Give yourself love, and keep pushing mm-hmm. forward.
I love that. Let's talk about, because you do education, I should tell everybody, Liz, you're like an open book. Like, there's no question that you won't answer or, like, help somebody with, which is amazing, because not everybody's like that, but you are. And that is amazing. And also, if you ever do another masterclass, I'm in. I know we've had this conversation. I'm just plugging that in right now to put it back out to the universe in case it wasn't listening. But for the photographers out there that are struggling to feel confident in themselves as business owners, what is your advice for them? Because you've been doing this a long time and you got a lot going on.
Oh gosh, there's so much I could add to this. I think sometimes it's hard for people to realize that we're on a floating rock in space. You know, like, yeah. we there's no real rules in life. We need to stop holding ourselves to these invisible standards that society put forth for us. My story, for people that don't know, my oldest is diagnosed with autism. And before he was diagnosed, I was not confident in myself. I was running a business, but I was a hot mess. And I never showed myself online because I'm like, I don't like the way I look. People aren't going to want to work with me if they see what I look like, which is ridiculous. Okay. But I did not understand that at the time. After he was diagnosed, I realized, well, heck, he is quirky. He is adorable. I freaking love him just as he is. And I want him to understand that he does not have to adapt to society's standards, to live a wonderful, amazing life. He's amazing who he is for who he is. And if I want him to understand that, I need to start showing up that way. So I did my first dance party on stories, because I was like, I'm just going to show people this is my chaotic self. And my business just kind of like blew up from there because I started just showing up as myself. I am quirky. I'm weird. I'm loud. I'm very, very hype girl, very extra. And I found out people like me for who I am. Shocking. Oh my gosh. And I think that what it comes down to, A, when you are truly who you are as a person, you're going to attract the people that like you for who you are. That's a bonus. That's amazing. Why would you want to pretend to be anyone else? Because then you're going to attract people that don't vibe with you, that don't jive with you, right? So I think we need to, A, remember that. Like, be yourself. That is your superpower, which I know sounds so silly, but being yourself truly reflects in your business and it makes it so unique. That people just won't know what to put on it. They're like, I don't know what it is about that person, but I really love that person because of ABC. Okay. So that would be one thing. And the second thing I want to mention is people always say, well, that always happens to everybody else and not me. I need you to start saying, why not me? Why not me? Like, why? You don't have to do the same things as everyone else does. You don't have to have the same process that other people did. You can do it in your own way and it's going to be absolutely fantastic. And why not you? It's not going to look like what someone else does. Another educator, I have plenty of educator friends I absolutely love and adore. And I'm so proud of them. They do things differently than I do. That doesn't make me any less of a person. My journey is going to look different than a lot of my friends because most of my friends have high school seniors and college kids. And I have 2 6-year-olds and a 10-year-old, right? My process is different. I am younger. I'm going through a different process in life. So we need to stop comparing people to ourselves, and we need to start telling ourselves, like, why not me? Why not me? Let's get on that journey. Wherever I need to go, stop looking at everybody else. Yes, I can do it. It's just going to look different than other people.
Yeah. I know. That's what drew me to you, Liz. I must have saw an Instagram of you dancing with your seniors, and I was like, this is fantastic. And you get your seniors to dance with you. My kids would probably look at me like I was crazy and be like, say what? But like, and so then I'm like, I wonder what she'll do this week. It was like, yeah, it totally drew me right in. I'm like, I love this. I wish I was like that, but that's just not who I am. But,
and that's okay. You have your own things that make you unique and special. And I like my husband, you could not catch that man dead dancing with someone. We didn't even dance at our wedding, y'all. Like, that man was not like to dance, okay? Which is hilarious because he married me, of all people. But, yeah, but at the same time, that man will make someone pee their pants laughing. He is so funny. Oh, he has made people pee their pants laughing. You know, we all have strengths, and that's okay. So, but anyways, I appreciate that. Thank you, girl.
And what else? I have to plug one other thing about Liz. I'm just, because these are things that remind me of you. Like when we were at the reset, you were I don't know if anybody else said this. I think it was just you, Liz, that was like very vocal about, if it's your first time here and you don't know anybody, please come sit at my table. Like, you know, very inclusive. And that was amazing because I think there's people that go to things like that and are scared. Like, yeah. I don't know anybody there. What, you know, like, what's this going to be like? And yeah, I love that about you, that you're so inclusive.
I appreciate it. You know, so that comes from two different things. One, I went to, I think, 6 different schools as a kid. I was always the kid sitting alone, you know? And I slowly worked on learning how to make friends with people. But it made me realize I never want someone to feel like they're alone. One. Two, some people do not have the extroverted skills that I have. And I recognize that. So I need to open up that door of opportunity for them because they won't open it themselves. So all my extroverts out there, I'm talking to you. If you are that kind of person, like, let people know, because other people don't have that privilege or they are not naturally that kind of person. So I do try to take that role on and remember, like, I never want someone to feel alone. I never want someone to feel scared to come and talk to me. I will always be the person I am today. If it makes you feel more approachable and I can be myself, you know, like 10 out of 10, that makes me so happy. I want people to be able to approach me. I want people to feel accepted by me always and forever.
Yes. So, I mean, you have evolved a lot since you've started this. I mean, you have given us how vulnerable you are and how open you are with your seniors. How has your storytelling changed in your work since you've evolved into this person that you are?
You know, I used to do very much like stand and smile photos. They're very like, very posed. And there's nothing wrong with posed photos. I pose throughout the entire session. But I've learned that I like to infuse personality, which has slowly developed. Every year I work on one skill that helps develop storytelling in the photos. And that's helped me develop. So for example, like my first couple years was focused on movement. Like, what can I do that showcases movement? Because when you look at still photographs that have movement in it evokes emotion. I also think of like little moments that we have with our family members. For example, a baby's in the bathtub and they're like giggling up a storm, like that moment you capture in your head and you just like can't help but smile to yourself. I want to create that smile and that joy. So I think about those core moments and then I think about what I can do to bring that out in my client. And so that was something I slowly developed of like, what makes people giggle? What makes people laugh? Like, for example, here's a freebie, y'all. I will get someone in their pose, get them all serious. And then I'll very nonchalantly be like, now please tell me, what do your farts smell like? And they'll just start busting out laughing. And then I'll keep it going, like a parent's there. I'm like, is she like a silent but deadly type? Like, no. Is she loud and proud? Like, tell me what we working with here. And it's just like to get that belly laugh. Like, I want to add that into there. I want to showcase that. So, yeah, I think I started with simple smile, work my way into movement. Then I focused on like emotions. This year I'm focusing on small details. What can I get of like the hand moving the dress, playing with the jewelry, close-ups of like moving the hair around. I want to add a little more so that if I made a storyboard, it would tell a whole story in a different way. And that's what I'm focusing on more this year. So I think every year I focus on something and I try to grow into it. Last year was so busy. That is one of my goals from last year that I'm carrying over to this year, which is okay, y'all, because learning takes time.
Speaking of being busy, Liz, how many seniors do you do in a year, would you say? I mean,
It depends. So last year was a little chaotic. I did almost 70 seniors last year, which was a lot for me. I usually stick around the 50 range. 50 is my happy zone because obviously I have 3 kids and now my kids are doing after school activities. So, and I work in Ohio, y'all. And if you don't know, Ohio is bipolar with its weather. So you are all over the place. I typically have a season between like March to mid-November is my season. It's slower in March. It's slower in November. And then my off season, I do indoor stuff with my teams. And obviously my education stuff is more heavy in the winter.
With your teams, Liz, do you do like, how many shoots do you do with your teams?
Depends on the year and the amount of girls. So I try to basically look at my year in advance of like, what do I have planned with my family? And then I plan my whole year in advance based around that. And so it will adjust year to year. I would say between the shoots and the special like events we do, because I do, for people that don't know, I do events with my girls so that they can bond. And then I also do shoots, and then I do styled shoots that are elevated for a smaller group of my girls. So a lot of intermixed things. Between all of that, it's between 8 to 10, I would say, on average. Unless it's a less crazy year. 2 years ago, I think I did 7. But usually 8 to 10 is my happy zone.
And that's in the slow season, Liz? Or do you try to sprinkle some in the busy for certain things?
So my 8 to 10 is for a whole year. That's it. Okay. That's actually a little over a year. Because I book my girls in November of their junior year. We start their process usually March, April, and then we finish the May after that. So that's kind of like my whole spiel. So it's a little over a year time span. My dream team, I do half the amount of shoots because the dream team, which is my underclassmen team, is basically supposed to be a little sprinkle of understanding of what the experience is supposed to be like when you go into being a part of my senior team. I do mix some of my events too, so that I'm doing both of them together. So I don't have to do 20 shoots in a year, for example.
That's smart. That's really smart to do it that way.
It helps.
That's a lot. I mean,
it's a lot.
But you're super creative. Like, I would have a hard time coming up with new ideas and new things, but I don't think that's an issue for you at all.
I love, like, that's like my creative happy place. I love coming up with something from nothing. I have a very, like, I don't know if it's a weird, I have a very unique creative process I go through to learn and to try to figure out unique concepts. And then I think I'm at a point where I can start repeating concepts too. Mm-hmm. Now there's certain ones that are like, just, I do every year because the girls really love it. Like for example, a college t-shirt shoot, everyone and their mother does that, which is totally fine. But then I like to have my specialized shoots in there. I try not to overdo it and stress myself out, but I do try to do at least a good 4 unique styled shoots with my team so they have something that no one else has.
I love that.
Yeah, I do too. I like the idea of the dream team.
I love my dream team. It's so great. And on top of that, almost all of my girls, the past several years I've done the dream team, end up moving to the queen team. So it makes the process a lot easier of booking the queen team. And I don't have to go so heavy on my marketing if I want to book more people or if I don't want to. Like this past year, I was like, I'm not booking a ton of people. I had so much going on in my personal life that I was like, I don't know what this year is going to go look like. So I end up booking, I think, 7 girls for this upcoming year. But 90% of those girls were on my dream team. And I was like, I don't even have to take more people because I need a smaller team this year because I got a lot going on. So I really always make sure that if the amount of girls I'm choosing, I can be truly involved in their lives, involved in their team with them so I can get to know them. So that number changes year by year for that. So the fact that I can spread out my time between my girls and then my family.
How did you decide to do teams, Liz? Where did this come from? Was it someone that you knew was doing it and you're like, I want to try that? Or did it just like organically happen?
So teams, like, I've heard of rep teams before when I decided to go into that route. And I really wanted something. I wanted my girls to feel more confident, but I wanted more time with them to make them feel more confident. And I was like, well, maybe I can just do like a team. I started looking a little into the basics of what rep teams were, and I didn't like it at all. And I was like, I'm just going to do what I want. So I built from the ground up what I wanted my experience to be about. Because I wanted an experience where you like new experiences. You love loving on yourself. You are okay with hyping other girls up. I wanted to create activities that help them bond and understand that there's different people in the world and you can love people that are different than you. So I made sure I had teams that were, oh, one's a basketball player, one's a cheerleader, one is in band, and make sure to pull girls from different backgrounds so that they can understand you can be friends with people outside of high school that aren't in the same interests that you have. Like, you can have deeper core interests. So I started to build on that. I started to build on the fact that I didn't want them to rep for me. I didn't want them to advertise for me. I wanted them to truly just have an amazing senior year and my experience to be a part of that. And the bonus is, if you want to post this stuff, fantastic. And that's worked really well for me. I've never had to have my girls promote me ever because they have no problem sharing that. And I think that's kind of a part of the method. When you don't force someone to do it and you give them your whole love and dedication, like, why wouldn't they want to share about that? So it kind of naturally spilled into that. And I end up making something that really wasn't a part of this industry. And now it's starting to pop up everywhere. And I'm okay with that. That's fantastic. I just want these girls to feel loved. And I wanted to create something that wasn't common in the area, because that teams was not a thing in my area. And now they're popping up all over the place. So it's cool. I'm glad these girls are getting fun experiences and they're trying new things. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's not, we don't have anything in our area, and I don't think Sarah does either, but it's cool to see, really cool to see that you do that.
Sounds like it's something y'all can start. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I love that you've made it your own. Like, you're not following anybody else's teams, and it's there for marketing. And I love that you're building girls up, because we live in such a society where I think it's starting to catch on that girls are being more confident in who they are and stepping out in their own. But I feel like there's a push there that could be. Yeah, I do. And I love that.
I want people to understand, like, I had, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I think it was 5 years ago, I had a no makeup shoot. And one of my girls was like, I don't feel comfortable with that. Right. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, that's fine. Let's talk about it. Because it made me realize, like, I don't want these girls to feel like makeup and dressing up isn't the rent you have to pay to live in this world. It's just absolutely ridiculous. So I started to focus and hone in more on that. And a lot of times my girls don't wear makeup anymore. Like, I feel like we are slowly getting to a better place for these girls. And it's our job to continue that pace. It's our jobs as parents, as mothers, as aunts, and as colleagues. However, I think, like, anytime I hear someone talking negatively about themselves, it could be a complete stranger. Your girl is just pulling her ass up. Sorry, guys. Pulling her butt up and saying, like, girl, why'd you say that? You're gorgeous for who you are. Let's not play that game. And I always will mention, too, if my parents start to get negative around their seniors, I'm like, would you say that to your daughter? And she's like, no. And I'm like, well, you look just like her. So, like, what do you think? How do you think that makes her feel? And she's like, oh, you're right. I will point that stuff out. I call people out, because that is how we're going to change as a society, guys. That's how we're going to change and help these girls understand, like, no, you're amazing for who you are. You don't need to change anything. All you need to do is accept yourself for who you are. And if there are adjustments you want to make in life, that's fine. But love yourself along the way.
I love that. I so love that. And I just had a scenario this week where I went into a school and took pictures of some band kids. And I did their pictures. I provided them with their banners. And I had the teacher reach out to me. And the girl wanted to do a retake. So I went and I looked at her pictures. And I'm like, God, she's gorgeous. Like, does she not like? And it was the mother who wanted her daughter to have more makeup. And I wanted to just strangle that mom for thinking that. I'm like, why don't you just love your daughter for who she is? She's beautiful. Look at that picture. So once we got the student there to do her retake, I had the banner there because the banner was already printed. And I'm like, can I just ask you, what is it you don't, you know, what do I need to change about this image? She's like, it's nothing you did. She goes, it's my mom. She wants more makeup on. And I felt so bad for that girl. And I'm thinking, why? Yeah. You're a gorgeous girl. Right. And I felt so bad about that girl. So I love that you are promoting all of this, and I feel like we should do more.
Yeah, and I mean, it's hard because you are coming from a professional place and you have to find that boundary. But for me, like, I get really close with my parents and girls that I feel comfortable enough to do that. If I don't know the parent well enough, like, I've gone into meetings and a parent's been like that right away and I see the red flags, I will on purpose take those clients, even if it's at a little of a discount, because I know that girl needs this more than my average girl. I can see what's happening behind the scenes, and I want her to walk away with a positive experience as someone that's saying, you're beautiful just as you are, that's not related to you, because you need that. So I think it's finding that balance of anytime a parent's like, well, I don't like this. I'm like, oh, well, honestly, I think she looks stunning in this. I understand if you want some adjustments, so let's do both. I'll try to make both of them happy, but I'll still make sure to let her know, I think you look absolutely stunning. Then, are you kidding me? Like, this is like drop dead gorgeous. Okay, bury me right now. Okay. And I will make sure to say those things so she understands that I'm validating who she is as a person. I could talk all day, y'all. That's a whole TED talk in itself. Don't get me fired up, y'all.
Liz, I want to hear about like what a typical day for you is. You have three kids, you have your camera, you have a thriving business, probably some caffeine in there somewhere, but what does like a behind the scenes day look like for you?
So every day is different for me. Every day is an adventure, and I actually like it that way. So in the morning, I get up, I go work out. After I work out, it depends on the day. I take my son to therapy several times a week. So he is in occupational therapy and physical therapy and speech therapy. So depending on the day, sometimes we're doing that in the morning and then I'm going to work out. Just depends on the day. If I come home, I get into my emails, get into editing, depending on the day. Every day is different, as I said, but one day might be I'm answering emails and I'm doing all my back end work. One day is my editing day. Usually 2 days a week, I focus and I sit down and I do all my editing in bulk. So that depends on the day. In the evenings, so now kids get off to, well, okay, hold on. See, it's chaotic. After that, I'm cleaning my house. I'm doing a quick rundown of everything in my house that needs to be cleaned up, and I'm running errands depending on the day of the week. Then my kids get off the bus. I'm prepping them. I'm getting them snacks. I'm checking their book bags. I'm going through that process. Then I'm prepping the kids for whatever activity for the evening. This could be therapy. This could be Girl Scouts. This could be Boy Scouts. This could be ballet. My kids like everything under the sun, so we have them involved in a lot of stuff right now. That is a mistake that I will be remedying this year because that was a lot for me and I didn't realize it. Working on it. But and then if I'm prepping them and I have to go to a session, I hand them over to my husband. He takes them to those events while I go to my session in the evenings. My weekends, I reserve off. I have one day a month on the weekend that I will do something with my clients one way or another because sometimes people do need a weekend date. Beyond that, my weekends are off. My girls know if you message me, I'm not messaging you back on the weekend. If you text me, I'm not texting you back on the weekend. It's just a mutual respect because when I'm spending time with my family, I'm spending time with my family. And that is a strict line for me. I'm running around. I'm always doing something. And every once in a while I sneak a nap in there because your girl needs nap and snacks and energy. But I will say like the biggest game changer for me was working out because it helps keep my momentum going. And then on days that I really feel like, okay, this is a lot and I just need a break, I will take a day off. I will move my schedule around and I will take a day off because I have learned that I am useless the rest of the week if I just try to push through the pain. So that's my chaotic life. I love it. It's chaos, and I know it won't be that way always.
Right. It's a season of life you're in. At the end of the day, though, Liz, what do you consider just a successful day? Like, what is it that is the little wins for you at the end of the day?
For me is I journal every day, and whether it's at night or in the morning, it depends on my day. I will write down things that I did for the day that I'm proud of. So for me, if I got three things done that was important in my business and in my personal life, I'm happy. Those are my happy room. And these could not be big things. This could be I made sure to read a story that my kid wanted to read to. This morning we did a tea party with Isabel, which is Juliet's new doll that she got for her birthday. And we did that for 15 minutes before school. Like, it's little. It's little. And it might, one day, it might be zero cleaning. But I spent time with my kids. Celebrating the small accomplishments is what gets me through. because I used to really battle over the fact that I'm not perfect and I'm not doing it all. Y'all, I got a nice pile of clothes sitting right next to me as we are speaking, but I did 2 loads of laundry yesterday. Go Liz, go Liz. Will I fold this today? Most likely not. That's probably not going to happen. But I will do the dishes today and mop the floor. So slay queen slay, okay? She's slaying all day. And that's how I look at it. Because we are not perfect. And this is a never-ending cycle when it comes to keeping your house clean, keeping up with your kids. So be proud of those small moments. Celebrate those small moments. Because that will help you push much further in life than hating on yourself.
Yes. 100%
You do
agree.
Need a TED Talk. You need a TED Talk, Liz. You're yeah, you definitely
she does.
Do.
I think
we
she
need
can
more
totally
of Liz
do
in
TED.
Our life.
Yes, we do. We do. I just love her energy. Energy is just yes. I can soak in your energy all day.
You're so sweet. Same. I love you so much. Oh my gosh, I love you.
Okay, we have
I
to know.
I'm a little crazy, but I appreciate it, and I'm glad that people like me just as I am. So that's a bonus. I would say it's a bonus.
Yes.
And some people don't find it fine, and that's fine because they just don't have to hang
right.
out with me. That's fine.
Right.
I'm okay with that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. We have to know what your non-negotiable in life is right now. For mine, it's my cleaner. Like, I would take on sessions if I had to cover the cost of a cleaner because that I was not made to be domestic. I'll just tell you guys right now, I was not made to be domestic. Yeah. That is not my strong point.
Girl, I feel that to my soul. That is actually yard work. That's probably my non-negotiable right now. So my husband is not the handiest man alive, but he's great at IT. Fantastic. You want him to set up a server? Top notch. Anything that is like electronic, fix. Yard work? That man is a little squeaker girl, even though he's a burly man that looks like a bear, okay? Like, just not his strong suit in life. So my non-negotiable in this season right now is having someone take care of the outside of my house so that I just feel better. Not to mention, I'm the house that all the kids come to in my neighborhood. So, like, having that taken care of makes me feel good, and knowing that these kids have a place to land and feel safe makes me really happy. So that's my non-negotiable, which has nothing to do with my business, but
it's okay.
It's fine. How about you, Sarah? I'm curious.
It's okay. Mine's just AI. I'm using AI for editing, for culling, and I'm helping it with writing content. And so I'm kind of riding the AI wave right now.
I actually have been using it religiously the past like month. And it has been a game changer for my personal life, not even for my mm-hmm. business. I'm slowly yeah. adding it into my business right now. And oh my gosh, y'all, oh, I know you need to teach a course on this, girl. Just saying, because this girl, top notch, y'all, she knows all the things about AI. I'm just saying.
I don't know, but AI, it is amazing. I mean, the amount of time you can save just with ChatGPT, asking it just simple questions. Like, it doesn't even have to pertain to your business. I mean, the amount of research it can do in a small amount of time is amazing.
Oh, it's insane. I've been focusing, since my son is on the spectrum, y'all, I have been focusing on understanding the Department of Education and branches and what it does for IDEA and things like that. So I have been on a deep dive of learning how our branches of government work with the Department of Education. And I have used ChatGPT a ton from this. Oh my gosh. So like, it is a great learning tool. If you are trying to gain knowledge, oh my gosh, a fantastic tool. You won't get everything under the sun. If you're like, hey, how do I build a business from scratch? Yeah, it'll give you a breakdown. You have to have personality. And I think you still have to work with someone personally that has been through it and that can walk you through the passion and emotions that are attached to it. But it's a great starting point for a lot of parts in your business if you're struggling.
Yeah. 100% agree. Yes. Mm. All right, Liz, how can our listeners get a hold of you? Where can they find you? Where is it that you land?
Yes. So I am on like a lot of different places, but Instagram is Elizabeth Ann Photography. Elizabeth is spelled with an S. I also have Elizabeth Ann Photo on TikTok that has a lot of educational content if you guys want educational content. And then obviously I have my website, ElizabethAnnPhotography.com. If you want to message me, DM me. On Instagram, y'all. I get a good portion of them a day. I get around 20 to 50 a day, but I promise I will get back to you usually within 24 to 48 hours.
20 to how many DMs do you get a day? That's insane, girl.
Well, and not all of them are just like, I'm asking you a question. It could be like, oh, I really like this picture that you did. Or, oh, you know, oh, they'll reply to my story. So I get a lot. It's down, though, because it used to be around 100 a day. And it's not as crazy during the non-busy season. So it's not too bad. I just, like, when I'm sitting in a grocery line or, like, getting gas, I just go through and I answer, like, 4 or 5 at once. And I just slowly answer them throughout the day.
That's so awesome.
And I'm a conversational person that will never shut up, so I have no problem, like, just having conversations with everybody on a regular basis. Yes. I'm okay with it. Just be prepared to not see an answer from me. And if you text me, wait 24 to 48 hours as well, because that one takes a hot message for a hot second for me to get back.
If you're not following Liz on Instagram, you need to be, because she is a hoot. I love Liz's energy. Well, thank you, Liz, for today. It was awesome. We're definitely going to have to come back, circle back on a few of these hot topics that we were talking about, because I love your styling ideas. I love that. I feel like that's something I could be doing. And then I love your eliminate, automate. What's the last one, guys?
Delegate.
There you go. Delegate.
Yep. We need a sticker, Liz. We need a sticker on this.
Yeah, we need a sticker.
Well, you know what? I think someone, Sarah, I don't know where my screen is for you guys, but I saw the stickers y'all made, okay? And the piece of print and stuff you made. I'm just saying. We'll just collab. It's fine.
Yeah. We can do that.
I love it. Thank you guys so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yes. Love you.
Have a great day.
Bye.